Welcome, Barbara. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, good afternoon to all of you, wherever you are. I am in Sonoma, California, north of San Francisco. I am a recovered alcoholic. My name is Barbara. I'd like to thank the powers that be that invited me to share today. It's quite an honor, and it's nice to be on the East Coast, which I seldom get to. I decided that I wanted to take a passage, a short paragraph from the 12 and 12, step 11, about what meditation is according to the guidelines for that. And that's on page 101 for future reference. This is in the 12 and 12. Meditation is something which can always be further developed. It has no boundaries, either of width or height. Aided by such instruction and example as we can find, it is essentially an individual adventure, something which each one of us works out in his own way. But its object is always the same, and that is to improve our conscious contact with God, with his grace, with wisdom and in wisdom and love. Let us always remember that meditation is in reality intensely practical. One of its first fruits is emotional balance. And I emphasize that emotional balance. With it, we can broaden and deepen the channel between ourselves and God as we understand it. My anniversary date is August 4th, 1978. I'm getting old. I had to think. In any event, it's been God's gift to me. And I can't talk much about God because I don't know. I have a God of my own understanding, and the directions are of our own understanding, which is really sort of an interesting and powerful concept for me. My background is that I did have formal, I guess you'd call it formal or structured or family religious background. And I knew nothing about the concept of meditation, whether that was ever mentioned or not. God only knows, because I didn't remember anything about it. But I am emphasizing that this is a process. It has been a process for me. It is still a process. It's a daily with a daily reprieve from my active alcoholism, I have the opportunity to increase my willingness to understand what prayer and meditation really are. And for those of you that may or may not be new, in the first 164 pages of our big book, it talks about the concept in a different light. But I went on my own quest, so to speak, when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. I did not want to talk about God. And when we were talking about meditation, I kept thinking, well, then I'm not going to ever get holy enough. I just will not be able to get holy enough to get involved with this kind of meditative thing. And I didn't know how much expense would be involved with getting a robe and, you know, some sort of a cap and all the external paraphernalia that I thought revolved around becoming holy. And that's just with my concept that, remember one time years ago, I did have some sobriety, but I was in New York and I was in the Central Park. I was trying to race like heck to get over to the park where the Dalai Lama was speaking. And I didn't get there in time. And that set me off on a trail of understanding myself, trying to understand myself, that I was never in the right place at the right time for the right reasons. And so I can tell you that I studied different religions when I turned my back on the one in which I was raised. I studied different religions and I found it all very interesting, but didn't improve my concept of God particularly. Again, this is just about me. It's not about anybody doing poor writing. And I didn't have to study reading. I know how to read. Comprehension is a different story. And with alcoholism, I could skew things in my mind. And I got tired of reading all the different types of religion and still feeling confused. And I think it's interesting that basically we are really given a lot of free will. We're given a lot of free will on our journey. And I have never gotten anybody sober, and I don't think I've ever really been conscious of bringing anybody to God or to meditation. That's probably a very personal thing for people's path I crossed. But when I got into the step work, probably one of the most wonderful, hopeful moments was the day that I read the passage that I just shared with you, that one of the first fruits is emotional balance. Because going over to step three, I fought step three, you know, with sword and pistol and bow and arrow and everything, because of the concept of a God that I didn't understand. But when I found out that there was some way to perhaps establish some kind of emotional balance, I had to increase my concept of spirituality as opposed to religion. That was a real key path of getting quiet enough. And that was always the thing. Could I get quiet enough? And then when it got quiet enough, everything would start up in the head again. And I thought, I'll never get this meditation thing, you know. But I would keep trying. And through the years, what I've discovered is that everything that I've learned in a positive or negative way about myself, in order to make some change or adjustment, I first need to accept it. And in the accepting, it doesn't mean that I have to like it. That's very key in my nature, because I fought everything if I didn't like it. I have to become aware of it. I have to accept it. And I have to make adjustments. And I had to do that with everything. My character defects, I still have to remind myself that I have a process for taking care of that. But the thing about emotional balance for me on any given day is so key, because when I had come into the program and I found that it was like, my God, there's help for me. Because I can recall my mother's voice so many times. And this, let me clarify, we're not blaming mother. There's no blame here. But my mother would say, there's something wrong with this girl. There's something wrong with this girl. She cries when she's happy. She cries when she's sad. And I grew up believing that there was something wrong with me. Well, little did I know, I was a little alcoholic in the making. But there are a lot of us that have had some issues with emotional balance. And when I could accept that, it was like, it's nothing wrong with me. It's some kind of an area that has an answer to it. And that's what it said in the book. The first fruit is emotional balance. I thought, Oh my God. Now, I didn't run and tell my mother this because I'm a grown woman when this is happening, and I'm not telling my mother anything about religion or spirituality. She's got her own set of guidelines. She did. As old as I am, my mother would be very old if she were still living. So it was a spiritual experience, a moment where I realized that there was some hope in this program. Not just going through words and writing things down, but to really think about things. So I can tell you today that for me, with the help of my original sponsor, that I started out really after all this studying and stuff, and she just stayed beside me. She'd say, we'll just use good orderly direction. And a lot of you, if you're older, you hear some of these things from the yesteryears, good orderly direction, or she called it Gus at the time, great universal spirit. She said, you can borrow Gus if you want to. And some of that kind of made sense. It seemed kind of silly, but it sort of made sense that I could follow in my nimble way. And I started to stop worrying about robes and embroidered fabrics and caps and gowns and incense and all this. I started to stop worrying about that. And what I started to realize was that when I followed directions, now that's key for this alcoholic. When I followed directions, oftentimes something spiritual happened. That's how I can call that today. Spiritual happened. It's something within the realm of spirituality, not religion. And I would pause and I would think about that. Now, I still don't sit down in a chair. You don't have to envision me sitting in a chair with surrounded by candles and incense, because I don't do that. I live alone. I spend a lot of time talking to this God that I don't understand. We have a great relationship. I think we do. I don't know what, God thinks about it, but mine certainly is better than it used to be. And what I discovered about emotional balance, there were a lot of things I could do with the guideline of the program and a sponsor and staying within the herd to become a more calm, less reactive person. So, although I may not sit in someone's concept of meditating in my living room, I do get quiet periodically throughout the day and take a deep breath, which I can do right now, and realize how well the day is going when I am not part of the problem. And it eliminates a lot of confusion when I'm not a part of the problem. I think with analogies, oftentimes it may not sound very spiritual, but I think in the spirit, it makes great good sense. If you've ever seen a documentary on elephants, something happens to the little one, and the little one is born, and everybody gathers around, and they don't put hats on and throw streamers around and all, but they all gather around and they're congratulating the mom, and the baby is taken care of and all that. If for some reason in the herd the mama dies, the same group of elephants gather around and they take care of that baby. They nurture that baby into adulthood. And that's pretty much how I look at my life in Alcoholics Anonymous, that people who have shared before me in the years, and they talked about the 11th step, encouraged my concept of just peace, being at peace with myself. Because if I'm at peace with myself, I'm not apt to be wacko because of someone else's reaction. But this has been a long process to unlearn so much reactive behavior that I had. And serenity prayer is a huge part of my recovery, because when I first got sober, that was all I could think about as far as anything like a God concept or a spiritual concept, was It's and grant me the serenity. I want it serenity, courage, and strength. That's what the serenity prayer is about. Serenity, courage, and strength. And it still holds today for me. And I have a little thing on my desk that says, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. That is huge for me. It's a reminder that if I'm stepping out there and I am not acting peaceful, I'm going to be part of the problem. And I've learned to accept that. And I don't like that about me when I am in the thick of it. And I can revert back to get back in the herd. That's why people say, well, hit a meeting. Call somebody. Very, very simple directions. Very simple. And many of you who understand the 164 pages, you know, they talk about simplicity, you know, keeping it simple, just follow directions. You know, we stop fighting. We cease fighting everything and everybody. Like it was, mine was like, oh yeah, well, let me tell you about this. That would be like really important for me to tell you about this, whatever this was that was irritating me. It's like, why don't you just be willing to sit down and think it through? Go talk to your sponsor. Find a friend that you trust if you can't find your sponsor. If you can't find any of those resources, just sit down. Strap yourself to the chair if you have to. Pretend like you're going off in a rocket. Get yourself settled. Because as I say, I can be part of the problem. And it sounds like woo-woo and magic when I say this, but gradually, I have come to understand that there is a process in my days for emotional balance. And today, not knowing, there's a few here that I've sent a few of my friends on here today, and I'm grateful for that friend, those friendships. But there's a lot of people here today that I don't know, but you are part of my spirit world, whether you like it or not. Sorry about that. You're part of my spirit world. You're nurturing me today by allowing me the privilege of sort of being all over the place about spirituality and emotional balance and going to a higher source than my own thinking. And it doesn't suggest, not for a moment in meditation, it does not suggest that you abdicate responsibility. We have brains. I thought mine was a pretty good thinker, and come to find out, it wasn't quite as sharp as I thought it was. It was very good about certain technical things that I did for a living. But when it came to common sense actions, thoughts, I could not seem to carry out appropriate behaviors or responses. But again, when it says the first fruit, and any given day, that still holds true. Any given day, it still holds true. The first fruit for me is to be quiet, think about what I need to do for the day, ask the source of a higher power that I don't really understand for the serenity, the courage, and the strength, to be a compliment to the universe. And not a problem. And it's amazing with a lot of practice how often my days are really lovely. They may not be beautiful in the sense of going my way, but I will tell you that it's very important for me to be able to look at you today and say that my days can be pretty lovely, pretty beautiful. Because in the yesteryears, I didn't really want to follow all these directions because I thought they were stupid. I thought there were a lot of stupid people. I was very judgmental, very critical. I mean, I know myself pretty well today. I can laugh at myself today and think how silly I was with all my perfectionism. So I know my characteristics pretty well, both good and bad. But the idea that I have like a guarantee, a warranty, a guarantee that if I get up in the morning and I do what I have discovered through my journey works well for being a part of the peace, if I do that, then I'm going to probably have a pretty good day. And even when something nasty happens, uncomfortable or frightening or whatever, it's like a new coin that has been offered for some of us with milestones in recovery talks about the true serenity is staying in the eye of the storm. That takes a little thinking if you want to do some meditating. That takes a little thinking. But in any event, just the concept for me that I have accepted is things that my sponsor used to say, when in doubt, don't. Just real simple. When in doubt, don't. Go sit down, get calm. Meditating for me is just getting calm. Rethink the thought. Pick up the phone, like I said. Talk to the sponsor. If not available, call somebody else. Take a pencil and a paper and write something. There's so many wonderful directives that are so simple. But I had to complicate everything because I thought that was a very sophisticated way of thinking and how much, like my son would say, oh, for all those people that adore you. And it's like, I don't need anybody to adore me for any reason whatsoever. But we laugh about those kind of things because we're so silly. Our brains are so silly sometimes. There's an answer to any of you who have a question about meditation and prayer. And I don't pray for stuff and things like I did as a kid, like they talk about, you know, the, oh God, I hope Santa Claus brings me that doll from put that doll under the Christmas tree. You know, I've already had that, but we know when, you know, I got sober when I was, what, 39? So, when you're 39, you don't have to be praying for the dolly to be put under the Christmas tree. But my thinking was pretty warped. But in any event, I'm not a holy woman. I'm a much improved spirit than I was when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I am way, way more emotionally honest. I am out of balance emotionally and spiritually when I am not in my right mind. And I have come to understand that every one of these steps, and I talked about this at a last week's meditation meeting, every one of the steps for me besides 11 are an adjunct to balance and to giving up my will. Every one of them has something to do with giving up my will. Doesn't mean I'm giving up my responsibility. It means that I am going to stop planning the results of everything that comes down the pike. And the one thing that I do in the morning when I wake up is I have a piece of paper, and I have done dream work all my life. And I write down what I've dreamed, and I sort of make little notes and things like that. And that's something to think about through the day for me. That's just for me. And I can get in touch with a higher consciousness through that. I say my third and seventh step prayer, and I light a candle. I light a candle. And the reason I light the candle, and it's up, it burns through the day while I'm at home. The reason I light the candle is the reminder that there is a higher energy than me. I'm not running the world. Ask God to help me to be a part of your day, to be a contributor to your well-being. And when I am doing that, then I am pretty comfortable with myself. It's been a process. I still have room to grow. I always keep the door open. And if I find it closed, I can always knock, and it's usually answered. So I want to thank you all for listening, but I feel sort of scattered, but it's okay. It's hard for me to speak to a screen, but I do see happy faces and sober faces, and I'm pleased to be a part of that. And I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity.